welcome to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standick here, and I'll be honest, when the day started, I wasn't quite sure what the tone of this podcast was going to be like. We found out that John Wall, while he didn't suffer any significant injury with that shoulder he hurt in Friday's loss against Cleveland, that he was not going to play in Sunday's game at Toronto. Not to say that the Wizards couldn't win without him, but obviously you take off, you know, one of your best players against a team that has an all-star level point guard in particular, and you think, well, this might not be the Wizards' day. Plus factor in the Wizards have been historically not so hot in Toronto. Well, guess what happened? The Wizards controlled this game pretty much throughout. They had big leads in the first half. They did let most of a double-digit lead evaporate, but they held on in the fourth quarter, thanks in large part to another spectacular performance from Bradley Beal. 38 points after he had 40 and 36 in his previous two games. He is just on fire. We'll get into that and a couple other thoughts on this game, how the Wizards did fare without John Wall, and so on. In addition to that, talking about this game and some other Wizardy things, I spoke with ex-Wizard Jared Dudley this past week when the Phoenix Suns were in town. I'm going to play that for you guys as well. Jared Dudley thoughts, I guess he called his inside take on the Eric Bledsoe situation, and also his thoughts on Otto Porter's growth. He obviously was with the Wizards for 1 year, and Otto Porter was still developing, and he has turned, obviously Otto Porter, who also had a big game today, has turned his game up another notch this year. So we'll get into all that here in just a second. On the Locked On Wizards podcast, you can, of course, find all of our episodes on iTunes or pretty much anywhere else to do your podcasting. Subscribe, therefore you won't miss anything. If you got any questions, thoughts, comments, hit me up on Twitter at Ben Standick or shoot me an email, bstandick1@gmail.com. And the Wizards win, you know, look, it's not like the Wizards can't win without John Wall. I mean, that's not the case. But obviously, just as in a general sense, you take out one of your starters, not just a starter, but a four-time All-Star, and it's going to be a bit of a challenge. And you're going, like I said, you're going up against a team that's got, you know, I think I would say that the Wizards have the better backcourt between them and Toronto. But when we have that type of conversation, if we have one, let's just say put the Golden State combination at the top, you know, the Toronto backcourt is in the discussion. Toronto finished ahead of the Wizards last year in the Eastern Conference, largely because of Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. And yet, ultimately, that didn't matter, in part because the Wizards got off to a great start, even though Tim Frazier, John Wall's replacement, got in some early foul trouble. But Beal was on fire. Tomas Satoransky came in, gave them some good energy. I really like the passing out of Marcin Gortat in the middle. He just always does all the dirty work. And, of course, Otto Porter making shots all over the place as well. He had 19 points. But the thing about it is Kyle Lowry got himself ejected in the second quarter, a bit too much yapping with the refs. And that essentially negated that aspect of the game. And, you know, the Wizards are doing pretty well. I've always thought the Wizards had a better front court over the years than Toronto, and I think that proved again tonight. Otto Porter, 19 points. Marcin Gortat, 11 and 12. Markieff Morris, still not all the way back, but he had 10 points. Kelly Oubre off the bench, 10 and 5 for the Wizards. But let's get to a couple specific points here about this game. First and foremost, Bradley Beal. I don't know, what else can you say? Holy hell, really, at this point. How well he is playing. You know, you guys have heard me talk about this now here on the podcast for over a year and change. I mean, I'm not at all stunned that Bradley Beal is turning into an all-star. I mean, I've been calling this for some time. You know, you guys heard me when I had my pal Armand Lee on this podcast a couple times, and he admitted that he and I have gotten into big debates about Bradley Beal earlier in Beal's career, and I was advocating that Bradley Beal had the goods to be an all-star level player, but it really is going up another level even this year. I mean, his ability to get to create his own shot. He hit one shot. It was the late second quarter. I think even Kara Lawson on the broadcast was just ecstatic over it. He's sort of above the free throw line. He's got Fred VanVleet sort of in his pocket trying to get the ball from him. Serge Ibaka comes over to try to stop him. And Beal is twisting, he's turning, he's faking, and he gets off a nice turnaround or fadeaway from that spot and sinks it. He's just, you know, he's not just a catch and shoot guy anymore, and he really hasn't been for the last year and change in particular. Frankly, Beal really has never been just that guy. He's always had some type of, you know, handle. You know, we forget when John Wall busted his hand in that Atlanta series in the playoffs a few years ago. Bradley Beal is the one who largely took over, you know, as a point guard. So he's had that in his game, but now he's just taking it out. He's just completely weaponized it. And the thing about it with Beal, like a lot of guys have the ability to do the things that he does, but it's not just the physical, it's also the mental. He has such a good feel for when to attack, when to pull up. And even though he's on a rhythm, I mean, he finished, 16 for 26 from the field. He's making all these shots, but he still doesn't. He's aggressive without forcing, and that is a line that is pretty, for some guys, I think it's a tough one, and for some players, I don't know if they ever truly resolve that line for them, where they think it's, I've got to get up the shots, either because I'm hot, or I'm the best player on the team, or whatever it is. Bradley Beal, look, let's be clear, Bradley Beal took 26 shots, nobody else on the team took more than 13, so he definitely got his. But he was also, I just saying, it felt like he was also deliberate. He wasn't, like I said, he wasn't trying to force too much. There were times where he's leading the break, and you could tell he was looking to set up teammates or at least explore that option without thinking, I've got to get this shot up. A truly spectacular performance. And just to sort of point to how well he has played, in the last three games, so that's the two losses at home and this win, he's averaging 38 points a game, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, shooting 54.5% from the field, 41.2% from 3. You know, and look, again, stats are not the end all be all for everything, but obviously those numbers are impressive, but like I said, when you watch his game flow, you know, and I think also obviously the Wizards are a better team when you have their best players on the court. So, you know, having John Wall is going to be more positive than negative more often than not. But one thing I, you know, seem to notice with Beal, and I'm going to be curious to see when the numbers come up on NBA.com with regards to sort of the passing and things like that, it just felt like the Wizards were a little more looking for each other, a little better ball movement. They only had 19 assists and 17 turnovers, hardly a great ratio. But, you've heard me say this, I just said it Friday night, teams take on the personality of the dominant figure. In this case, it was Beal, and it just felt like the team played maybe a little headier than they have at some other times. But look, also, we can't dismiss the fact that their backs were up against the wall, relatively speaking, you know, 9 games into the season. They clearly couldn't be feeling too good about themselves after the back-to-back losses at home. And good win for the Wizards, without question. If anybody says to you, hey, Bradley Beal is going to make the All-Star team, well, yeah, of course, because the East lost so many players. No. Bradley Beal was going to the Eastern Conference, or to the All-Star game this year. I guess I can't say East or West because with the format of the All-Star game, we don't know who's playing for who. But in any event, Bradley Beal will be going to that All-Star game unless something crazy happens. And at this point, it is a well-deserved We'll be back on the Locked On Wizards podcast right after this message. Now, in the backcourt this time, he had with him Tim Frazier and Tomas Satoransky. Now, you know, neither of these guys are making people forget about John Wall, but, you know, again, let's just look at the numbers really quick here. Tim Frazier picked up two quick fouls early in the game, and, you know, that put the Wizards even into more of a bind with that Wall. But he comes back in, he plays 31 minutes, finishes with 8 assists and 0 turnovers. You know, there's things about Frazier's game that are not totally appealing. Our friend Todd Dybas often mentions his defensive concerns. His three-point shot is not all there. But what Tim Frazier can do is set people up, get the ball to the right person. He did that nicely today for the most part. So, you know, his performance going forward is key, obviously. We spent so much time last year talking about the lack of a backup point guard. Tim Frazier, I wouldn't say that anybody's thinking after 9 games that the problem is solved, but his performances like this, and look, also, he played with the first unit. I've said before that I think Marquise Morris is sort of the toughest guy to replace among the starters, just simply because of on this particular roster, that they just don't have anybody who can really kind of do what he can do. Now, Tim Frazier can't do a lot of things John Wall can do. He can't run. He can't push. The way Wall can. You know, he doesn't have his athletic ability, but he can run the offense. And I think at a base level, that is important. By the way, speaking of John Wall can or can't do, the Wizards had 17 fast break points tonight. According to the box score against Cleveland, they had 0. That didn't almost seem right. It felt like there were a lot more, just in that first quarter alone, it felt like there were some fast break chances. Nonetheless, the Wizards with Wall, they just did that here today without him. They get 17, Toronto had 12, and it wasn't. That's not just a Frazier stat, that's a Bradley Beal stat, that's an Otto Porter stat. Otto Porter had a play where he grabbed the rebound on one end of the court, dribbled the entire length of the court, and banked in a runner on the same play. That's the type of thing you didn't see out of Otto Porter historically. But again, a good sign for him. You know, similar to the game against Golden State when Bradley Beal gets ejected, there was an opportunity for somebody else to step up. Otto Porter did, and you know, I think was arguably the best player on that court for either team that game. And you know, he wasn't the best player on the Wizards tonight because of Beal, but he definitely had some big moments. And you know, look, guys, sometimes I feel redundant, to be honest with you, on the podcast, talking about these same guys over and over again. There's only so many players, right? Unless I'm doing an interview with somebody where we can go into specific topics. There's only so many players in a given game, and the best players on an NBA team are the ones who typically take the most shots and are most involved. Good for the Wizards, because they're two top guys today, Bradley Beal and Otto Porter, more than did their job. Now, you know, look, not everything was perfect. The Wizards did let they had a 19-point lead, got it all the way down to 3 in the fourth quarter. It kind of felt like deja vu all over again because of, you know, how things have gone in pretty much almost every game this year where they've basically blown a double-digit lead more often than not. But this time they held on. Fred VanVleet, boy, that guy was a pest. Kyle Lowry leaves, VanVleet comes in, and he was just, for the second half, parts of the second half, it felt like he was going to bring Toronto back all by himself. He had 14 points. Oh, sorry, he had 10 points off the bench. DeMar DeRozan had 26 for Toronto. Norman Powell, 19. So, you know, look, the NBA, Buck Hintz made this comment during the game. Every team makes a run. Totally fair, totally correct. The question is, when they make that run, do you have enough, fortitude, what have you, to push them back? They didn't against Phoenix. They didn't against the Lakers. They did at Toronto, because obviously that makes sense. They were able to hold off Toronto, and that was a big deal. So, look, straightforward. A win is a win, and the Wizards, they needed this one. Definitely never going to say it's a must-win 9 games into the season. Let's not go be stupid. But, like I said, they would have lost 5 of 6 at that point, 3 in a row. Get moving. And, good spot for the Wizards that they did that, because now, on Tuesday, they're playing the one-win Dallas Mavericks at home. I never discount a Rick Carlisle team, but nonetheless, they're not playing that well at the moment, and the Wizards are. But then after that, the Wizards, it's the start of a 4-game homestand. The Lakers, so a little bit of revenge action there. The Atlanta Hawks, and another team they've already faced, the Sacramento Kings. The Wizards will be big favorites in each of those games. You win these 4 games, and all of a sudden you're up to 9-4 before a home-and-home with the Miami Heat. So, you've got to take advantage of winnable opportunities. Is that simple? And, if the Wizards can beat Dallas, if they can sweep that homestand, which is not impossible based on the opponents, if they do that, that goes a long way towards, okay, fine, you wish you had that Phoenix or Lakers game, but, if you win every game at home on this trip, that makes up for it on some level in the big picture. So, good stretch upcoming here for the Wizards. We'll talk more about what to think about this sort of really slow-starting Dallas Mavericks team, and a bunch more about the Wizards here on the Locked On Podcast. But before we get to our interview with Jared Dudley, here is a quick word from our sponsors. All right, so I had a chance to talk to Jared Dudley. Walked in the Phoenix locker room the other day. Jared Dudley is sort of hanging out in the hall the way within there. He said, "Hey, how's it going?" I'm like, "Great." Immediately we started talking. I was like, "Hey, you got a quick second? Mind if I turn this recorder on?" He said, "Cool." And you don't have to do much to prod Jared Dudley to talking. So we got to a bunch of different topics. Gave us a little bit of a skinny on what's going on with Phoenix. By the way, I should mention, well, actually, I'll come back to this later. I had a thought about Cleveland, but I'll come back to this in a second. Let me not interrupt my train of thought. Anyway, so Jared Dudley, I asked him about the Eric Bledsoe situation. He had some thoughts there, along with his former team, what they've been up to. So here is former Wizard and NBA fantastic talker, Mr. Jared Dudley.
Obviously, just wanted to touch base. It's super duper earlier in the year for you, but yeah. How's it going?
Doing good. Come back off surgery, rehab. Foot's 100% healthy, which kind of when I was here, it was my back. So everything's perfect. So just trying to get back in playing shape, doing stuff right here, right now. It's been a little difficult because we've been having so many different games. So we haven't had a lot of practice times, but long season. So for me, just pacing myself. Hopefully by, end of November, beginning of December, I'll be 100%. Ready to go play NBA style.
I noticed the bye in looking up this game. I noticed you didn't play in the last game, and I'm not quite sure what was going on.
Well, because mostly that, I came back early because after our coach getting fired and Bledsoe's tweet, I thought it'd be good just for leadership-wise, me just to be out there, even though not at 100% of playing-wise, but health-wise, it's 100%. So for me, I played the first game, but mostly my minutes will be sporadic at different times. A lot of DMPs probably for the next couple of weeks, and then after that, they'll slowly work me in. What's going on, brother? Everything good?
Yeah. You mentioned the firing.
Yeah.
You've been through the NBA for what was right. That whole 24 hours like?
It was crazy. We were playing, kind of the worst basketball that I've seen in the NBA for a while, just getting beat by, giving up 130 a game. Teams outscoring us, losing by 50. And I just think that there was no progress being made, and them wanting to go in a different direction. Then Bledsoe, voicing his concerns of trying to, just trying to be on a winning team, which, hey, I've been there before. I've wanted that in my prime years. I think he's handled it the wrong way. But, at the end of the result is, hopefully he gets what he wants because he was a good player for us. He wasn't cancerous at all. He was a good teammate. He was here. I think just him doing that one little tweet kind of rub people the wrong way, but he wasn't that type of guy at all.
I mean, so I follow you guys all on Twitter for moments like this, or who knows what somebody say.
or what, how do you find out about this moment? Somebody said,
I saw a tweet. I saw a tweet, and then I called him. Stuff like that. So, yeah, he did tell me that a hair, you know, the hair salon thing too. But overall, that, you know, he did want to get moved anyway. So, I think just with Bled, I think overall he's a good guy, a good player, and you're just hoping for the best of him. And hoping that, you know, and we've been playing well. We've won 3 out of 4 guys. We should have beat Portland. Should be 4-0 for that. But hopefully, we can just keep playing the type of basketball we're doing right now.
So I'm sure we have to ask you this many times before, but regards to the other team, you're here, Otto Porter still figuring some things out. You're one of the vets who say, don't worry, he'll be good.
Yes.
And I believe, but, you know, it's still until you see it. Well, he's definitely picked this up now last year, but he's even been better this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been like that. He's been a worker. He's someone that's under the radar, and he fits this culture and team because he doesn't need the ball in his hand. Brian John Doe. His shooting's improved. He's probably your best defender. Him and Kelly Oubre, the wing. Now with small ball playing the four, he's like a Swiss Army knife, and he's someone that's always going to get better because you're playing with someone like John. He's a good player anyway, but John just getting everyone easy buckets. But no, Otto, I think you're seeing more because Keith's not in the lineup. He's playing more minutes, playing more at the four, and he has a huge advantage there.
I don't know if you can tell watching on video, but he just seems
confident. I saw that even versus the Warriors, three. He's not even hesitating. He's not even thinking. And I mean, I was like that a little bit when I was here. Just overall, like, you get such good quality shots. You don't have to force on this team when you start. So I could see his confidence. And let's be honest, when you sign a max contract, I mean, you got no more worries left in life. So I think for him, it's just everything's coming full circle.
But some guys can go the other way.
True.
Either get maybe lazy or put too much pressure on themselves.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he's just – I mean, you see that with guys, but not with someone like Otto, who's a worker, a quiet guy, loves basketball, who puts the work in. Usually those guys are content, but he's still young. I mean, I don't even know. I think he did 1 year with 26, 25?
24.
I mean, so those guys like that, I had that when I saw Giannis, him putting his work in to see where they're at. It seemed that John is taking the next step in his career. And when I was here, one of our huge projects was just his health. I mean, Brad plays half the games. We're in the playoffs. So I think, you know, they've been fortunate now the last couple of years of having good health.
And just lastly, I was trying to think of some NBA topics to get your take on, and rather than me come up with an artificial one, what's on your brain? You're a guy that thinks about
NBA
the league.
Topics, I think overall, I think the league is doing good. They're in a good spot right now. I think the moving the schedule up for a week, less back-to-backs has helped people. I think that overall, I'm trying to think what else is going on here for player-wise. I mean, We're in a good spot right now. No, you know, the protests, I think when it comes to our league compared to football, our commissioner and our players are on the same page. We're all in that. So there's no negatives right now in basketball.
You've been here, I think, to some degree through the evolution of the sort of super teams. And that's always an interesting topic, especially with Golden State.
Yeah.
Durant having joined them and all that stuff. What's your sense of that evolution where guys are maybe, you know, putting themselves into that situation?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I don't mind it because you have good upcoming teams and you don't know how long it's going to last and how the CBA works. It can't last that long. People are talking about LeBron leaving. The Warriors will have 2 or 3 more years and then they'll lose a couple guys and then it'll even out. But overall, I mean, people are watching. It'd be different if ratings and everything were low. Then we'd be concerned and then we might have to change rules. But business is good, so we're good.
Awesome, Jeremy. All right, man. Definitely appreciate it. Thanks. All right, so there you go. Jared Dudley, interesting thoughts, candid comments about Eric Bledsoe, how he handled the situation, some praise, of course, for Otto Porter. You expect nothing less from Jared Dudley. All right, let me get out of here. Thanks to you guys, as always, for listening. I definitely appreciate the time that you guys commit to this podcast. Always warms my heart to know that you guys care enough about somebody talking about the Wizards. Definitely appreciate it. All right. Well, Wizards back at it Tuesday night. More before that game here on the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standing signing off. And until next time, see ya.
Neal gets open for 3. Dagger!
Lobby side. Touchdown!
Full drive. Long shot.
Dagger!